So good day to you and welcome to the TJAC Kids podcast, where we share information, tips, and techniques to help children, youth, families, and educators grow and blossom. I'm your host, Tracy V. McGee, and we welcome you from beautiful Lithia Springs, Georgia. In today's episode, we will discuss hope with our distinguished guest, Dr. Douglas Hendricks Sr., who is the Senior Deputy Superintendent and Chief of Staff for Clayton County Public Schools here in Georgia. Today, we will discuss the empowerment of hope and hope's practical applications. You want to remain with us to the end of this episode because we have a special surprise for you. Be sure to listen all the way through for details. The TJAC Kids podcast is a service and sponsored by the TJAC Group, where we are taking Jesus across communities through the provision of educational services. The TJAC Group is made up of 8 educational service programs designed to strengthen our educational community. So before we jump into our topic of hope, Dr. Hendricks, please introduce yourself and tell us about Clayton County Public Schools.
Yes, ma'am. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. As you stated, my name is Douglas Hendricks Sr. I am the Senior Deputy Superintendent, Chief of Staff for the Clayton County Public School District under the leadership of Dr. Anthony W. Smith. We have approximately 50,000 students. We're located in the South Metro. So we're over by the airport and all of that area. And our mantra is just plain and simple. It's about the urgency of today with an eye towards the future. We are building a better tomorrow today. And so you can imagine that a lot of hope is infused in that, but it's that hope that also sparks our actions. And so I'm just proud to be here. It's a pleasure to meet you, and it's a pleasure to be on your podcast to share and talk about hope.
Thank you so much for allowing us to learn more about you. So as we jump in, let me tell you a little bit about how we got into this topic of hope. Right as schools were opening and people were going back to work, going back to church, going back to the mall, I got a phone call from one of our partners in a different state. And he said, listen, our university is going to start working on the topic of hope. And I had been writing classes, training classes for early childhood programs in the state for several years. And I said, oh, that's nice. Because hope was just one of those things that was a part of my life. But I really never dug into it to find out what the technicalities of hope were all about. And so I'm thinking that he's just telling me what they're doing. And he says, I need a favor. And I said, anything. So he said, I need for you to write a series of classes on hope because we're finding that we need a different perspective than just the university's perspective. And I said, okay, let me breathe. I said, because we're going in a whole different area. But what they found was people were depressed. People had given up. People didn't Yes. think that life was going to change for the better. And so he asked me to join them in studying hope and then bringing hope to other people. Well, hope took me over. I started researching and I couldn't stop. And I'm writing class after class after class. And I'm learning all of these wonderful things. We do a prayer for educators every Monday. And for this entire year, we've been looking at scriptures that have to do with hope when we do our prayers, because people need to know that there's a chance for them to be able to survive. So we did this. We jumped in. And then I decided we need to hear from other people, because we are not the only hopeful people in the world. And so I decided to come to administrators for school districts first. because I felt like your people should hear from you. They should know from you why it's important to have hope.
Yes.
And so when I came to your superintendent, he wrote back and said, I've got just the person for this job. And I said, okay, if you're recommending him, then surely I would love to have him. And so, our format is that we ask questions, we set up a interview style, and you take all the time you need to give us the responses that
Okay.
we need for the questions. And so, as a great educator, your first question is the number one question on our list.
Okay.
So I would love to know, how does hope empower a person to navigate through challenging situations when life gets hard?
Wow. I've experienced a lot of that, as many of your listeners, and I'm sure yourself and others have. I'll start off by defining hope. And in my opinion, hope is light when all you can see is darkness. It's that light that shows you the way and gives you that second boost of energy to make it when you thought you couldn't make it. So hope for me has always been light in the darkness. But to your question, hope plays a vital role in empowering individuals to navigate challenging situations. I think by offering several things that I believe are key benefits. And the first would be just a positive outlook. When you have hope, you tend to have an optimistic belief that things can be okay, and it allows you to persevere. I think that hope builds resilience. Hope strengthens resilience by giving people the mental and emotional fortitude to withstand any setbacks and continue moving forward despite the difficulties. I think it aids with goal setting. When you're hopeful, you are encouraged that things can be all right enough that you plan for them to be all right and you set goals. I think that it reduces stress. I always like to say that I want to be a improved version of Peter when he was on the ship with Jesus and he was walking on water and he told him, keep your eye on me. And he kind of took his eye off Jesus and he sunk. But then he called for Jesus and Jesus helped him to get back up again so that he could start over. Well, I want to stay focused. And I would say that it gives you that ability to stay focused. Problem solving. When you're hopeful, you can problem solve. It inspires you to go get emotional support. A lot of times we don't like to ask for help as adults, but sometimes it's hope that can inspire one to go for those benefits of support that we all, if I'm being honest, need at some point in time. There are health benefits to hope. When you're hopeful, you're less likely to, have some of the physical ailments that you may have. It may improve your immunity. There's research that even says that the risk of chronic disease actually subsides in people during challenging times when they have a belief that they can get through it. And then I'd say finally, empowerment. Ultimately, hope empowers individuals by giving them a sense of control over situations and circumstances. And it instills the belief that the power to get over these things or to achieve out of these situations rests within their ability to stay hopeful and then let that hope drive their actions. So I believe hope is a powerful force that can help individuals navigate through challenging situations by fostering a positive mindset, enhancing resilience, encouraging goal setting. Reducing stress, improving problem solving skills, providing emotional support, and offering health benefits, and ultimately empowering individuals to take control over their own lives.
Excellent. Well, this is a great start because I believe that now we can get into some of the details of hope. I want to kind of reflect specifically on our children and our young people.
Yes, ma'am.
and ask, how are we able to teach our children and young people to use hope as a coping mechanism?
That's a great question too, and it's something I think about every day because I have a 9-year-old and 11-year-old, and as I watch them progress in life and matriculate through their studies, and I stay hopeful that they will be the adults they need to be able to make it in a world that's very different from this one. It's very important that we, in a sense, teach young children and young people how to use hope as a coping mechanism that involves, some strategies. And these strategies can be integrated, I believe, into their everyday life. I would first say to parents, and I'm in the situation myself. I think modeling hopeful behavior is very powerful. Keeping a positive attitude, demonstrating a positive attitude even when things are difficult, by parents, teachers, and leaders of children provides a very positive impact on the lives of those children. And you'll probably hear me say this word over and over again because I feel like I've said it 2, 3, 4, 5 times already, but resilience. You got to show children how to handle setbacks because we know that they will come. And when they can handle those setbacks, they can persevere. I think one way that we can do that is by discussing our own challenges and how we maintain hope in the face of those things that we deal with as adults. I would also say encouraging goal setting is very important. Children need to be taught to set achievable goals, small goals, and then they need to celebrate the accomplishments to build their confidence. And as you continue to do that, that muscle gets stronger. So when those large things come, they'll understand that it's basically just the same pattern, the same thing that you do with those big things. And we do this a lot in education. Breaking down task. An elephant is an elephant until you break it apart. And you find that it has different parts and it's easier to take on the pieces of the elephant more than it is if you look at the whole elephant or the elephant as a whole and try to, take it. So you break tasks down into small parts and teach children to work on one part at a time. And as they achieve that, they will see it get smaller, smaller, and smaller, and then doable. Hope is very powerful in that way. Teaching problem-solving skills. Our children miss a lot of time problem-solving skills and how to, more importantly, identify solutions. We need to guide children in identifying potential solutions to any problem and encourage brainstorming. And children have this great gift that's given by God called creativity. We all have it as human beings, but children, I believe, have more. And I think it's most evident in their play. But creative thinking, think your way out of situations because you're just that powerful. I think that adults can help by promoting a growth mindset. It's about emphasizing effort and what your efforts will mean to you. Succeeding and coming out of any situation that you have to deal with. And then there are other things like fostering positive relationships. You have to build support networks as you grow. We need to teach children how to be a friend so that they have friends when they need friends. We need to encourage emotional expression. Children need to know to talk about their feelings. I'm always telling my son, please, man, talk about your feelings. It's okay. Don't just bottle those things up. I tell my daughter the same thing. And then go give them coping strategies because, the fact of the matter is that by human nature, we're emotional, but we're also thoughtful. And we need to make sure that our thoughts overrule our emotions in difficult times so we make the best decisions. And then I think we can promote optimism. What else is there? Providing encouragement and affirmation to children helps. Children need to be affirmed that they're good enough always, and that they're talented enough, and that they're powerful enough so that they believe it in the toughest of times. And then you, as an organization that educates, we need to integrate hope into our educational practice. That's very important. And then we need to create safe environments for children. It's easy to be hopeful, or it's easier to be hopeful when you feel that basic necessity of being safe. And so having a safe environment is another way to inspire hope. I hope I wasn't too long.
No, that was awesome. Because I think that parents and educators who are listening to this will see where they can come together and give almost like cushions of assistance to children as we're teaching them to survive.
I agree.
Because sometimes our children are taught just the opposite. You can't do this, you won't be able to do that. It's just a dream. I remember recently I said something to a family member about our program. And I said, oh, one day I would love to see, even if I'm not here to see it, I would love to hear tell one day that we've raised to this point. And that family member looked at me and said, you are such a dreamer. And I said, I'm hopeful
That's right.
because I believe that when we set the stage today, we don't have to be here to see it, but it can change somebody's life in 100 years.
Oh, I totally agree.
And our children, if we teach these skills that you were just speaking of, if we talk about being resilient and we talk about the truth of what will happen, then our children will not be so disappointed when something does not go exactly the way they want, but they will get in there and they will fix it.
You know, it's about preparing before the darkness comes. It's about where do you find the light? The light may not be there, but where do you find the light before the darkness gets there? And if you know where to find the light, you always know how to turn it on and be able to see through the darkness. And it'll lead you until you get out of it. So.
I'm loving this light because I'm seeing the tunnel, but I'm also seeing the light. So yes, what a metaphor that you're leaving us with.
Yes, ma'am.
I have another question.
Okay.
What is something that makes you feel hopeful right now?
Okay. Hopeful right now. You know, we live in a world that, in my humble opinion, is filled with apathy. We're disjointed in many ways. It can be said that to some degree we're losing our way. But the one thing that I will draw your attention to is the human spirit. Right now, what makes me feel hopeful is witnessing the incredible resilience and kindness of people coming together. And as an example, I'll use places like where they just had the tropical storm Debby, where there's all of this flooding, but you see people risking their lives to help people save their lives. And that's a piece of the human spirit that I don't believe will ever go away. You know, I believe the mark of a great person is to reflect, and then the energy from that reflection is the helping of others. And so during challenging times, what inspires me is I still see people helping each other. I see communities uniting, sharing resources, and offering, help, a helping hand to those in need, or those most in need, to be quite honest. And that's no matter how things or how tough things get, that spirit lives. And I think the human spirit's capacity for compassion and for solidarity, I think it can actually light the way forward. And so this collective strength and this unwavering support, it inspires hope. And I think it brightens our future and it connects us to that future today. So I think that's what inspires me most, just the human spirit of support and its capacity for compassion and for solidarity, even in difficult times.
Awesome. Thank you. And what a timely example to be able to use because Debbie is still on her way right off the coast.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us a brief story about an experience that you have had with hope.
So I could go one of two ways there. I could go personal or I could go professional. And I think I'll go professional on this particular one. This particular story, 2009, I had been a district administrator for about 2 years. I came out of the school as a principal in 2007 and worked my way into the human resources department as a director in 2007. And by 2009, I had been promoted to the chief of human resources. And please don't think I'm that talented. Just know that timing was everything. We had people who leave, and I say this because this is part of the story. We had individuals who had retired or decided to leave, and I found myself almost there by myself, with the exception of the people who work under the chief, and to be quite honest, under the directors who were under the chief to get the work done. And so I found myself in this particular situation. If you'll remember, in 2009, we had the housing market crash, the Great Recession. That was also the time that Clayton County lost its accreditation. And I always want to be clear, we have accreditation now. This is a story from the past. But at the time, we lost our accreditation. And at the same time, we had a $130 million budget shortfall. The state had taken $64 million from us in 2 years. So at the time, I was the chief human resources officer, but we were without a CFO. So the superintendent at the time came and asked me to do both jobs. He wanted me to be the chief human resources officer. You know, we have about 7,500 employees. At the time, we had about 10,000. And then he asked me to be over this budget, which at the time was about $600 million, with $130 million shortfall. We had to end up notifying 1,000 people that they would be without a job, and that responsibility, how it was going to be done, the fairness of it, the structure of it, all lay at my feet. And a lot was, you know, because I live under this belief that people will always recover from what happens to them, but it's how it was done that will stick with them their entire life. How you made them feel will always go with them forever. And so, being very aware of this, I wanted to make sure that there was a lot of decency in which we did this process. And if there was an opportunity to bring people back, which there was, and that was a good part of the story, we were able to do that. But I'll tell you, those were definitely the toughest times in my professional career because of the magnitude of it all. You know, I'd never worked as a CFO. You know, the biggest budget I was dealing with was the one at home. I had dealt with school budgets and things of that nature. But the great thing for me is I had some wonderful people working with me. And what we did is we stayed hopeful in the process of creating the fairest and the most sensitive to the problem, and at the same time, the most effective process for getting our children the resources they need with what we had to do it with. And so the hope came in, hoping that we did the job, because I felt like all of the weight was on my team to really save the district at that time, to make sure that we treated these people with great respect, that there was great fairness, that we were great stewards of the public's dollar, that we had the children in mind at all times with everything that we did, and that we could come out of this and be better. And eventually it got to the point where I'm proud to say, along with our superintendent, I was part of the team many years ago that helped us to regain our accreditation. And we've flourished in many ways since then. And so, but it was a time where there was a great bit of hope needed, because there were so many things that we could not control.
And I couldn't even take notes. I was absolutely captivated by your story because I
Yes.
remember those days.
Yes.
And I remember literally praying for you guys because I remember that it was such that transportation was impacted
Yes.
and people were wanting to move out of the county.
Yes.
And so to hear that you were there during that season and you remained on the boat and even stepped out and stayed focused on the water and the water walker.
Yes.
It's amazing to me to hear someone who says, I hope my way through it. Because there were many executives who would have said, oh, no, not me. And so it is an honor to be able to get to know you better.
Thank you so much. Thank you
Because
so much.
I know the opposite of that story as well
Yes.
with counties who have had those types of experiences.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
You gave us a question. So before I get to the final question, I want to ask what we call your bonus question.
Okay.
And I laughed because I said, okay, I don't know if this question is for him or for me, but I hope it's
It's a question I think I want to answer because I think it pertains to your audience, which is the world. And I think it's something that I want to attempt to say from my perspective because I believe it's a message that needs to be sent to the world.
Okay, so your question was, is there a such thing as a collective hope? And if so, describe what it should be or is, and how it can better humanity.
Yeah. So this idea of collective hope seems a far-stretched belief in these times where we are almost split down the middle in terms of our politics and other things that, when you really think about the great scope of life, in my opinion, don't matter. They're made up. You know, what matters most is do we love profoundly? Do we respect profoundly? Do we have altruistic tendencies profoundly? And so, is there a collective hope? The answer I would have to that is yes, there is such thing as collective hope. And what I would say even further is collective hope is a shared belief among a group of people that together they can achieve a better future, especially for their children. It transcends individual aspirations. I believe it unites communities and societies and even nations when there are common goals and values. And, you know, the common goal and value that I believe should be most pertinent and should be exacerbated the most is that we all matter. And so I would go even further to say that collective hope should be inclusive. It should be visionary. Which means it should have a life beyond today. There should be an overall achievement, which should be, in my opinion, peace and health to everyone. You know, hope should hope its way out of having to hope. We should hope our way into, I believe that's how we're like God. We can think things in our mind and they appear before man. And the greatest thing that I can think of in terms of thinking for others and myself is peace and prosperity, good health and wellness for everyone. And so, you know, collective hope should be visionary. And I think that the vision should be somewhere in line with what I just talked about. I think it should be action oriented. Hope by itself is sometimes futile. It should inspire people to act and to move and to change things and to change things for the greater good, not for an individual. You, as part of the question, it said, how does collective hope, or how can it better humanity? I think it was. Well, it can foster unity. We need unity. We need unity bad. We forget how interconnected we are, regardless of what we look like, regardless of what we believe, regardless of our skin tones, regardless of all of those things. And a collective hope can foster a great bit of unity that the world needs. It can drive progress. When we have collective hope and we know, and I say this to our team all the time, we know the destination that we want to reach. Now our only debate is which is the best path to get there. And so progress can be driven. And that doesn't mean that we agree on every step of how we get there. But it means we at least have the conversation so we can come up with the best way to get there. And so I believe that collective hope can drive progress. I believe that it my R word again, it builds resilience. But now, instead of just resilience being built in an individual, it's being built in the collective. And so when a collective is strong, my goodness, you can do anything. We can do anything together. And then I believe that collective hope promotes passion. Because when you really think about it, hope is one of those emotions that you really have to lay down all of your bravado for. You have to acknowledge that there are problems around you and that I'm going to have to believe that things can be better, and then they manifest into better. And so that's a very compassionate state where all you have left is your belief that things can be better. In those times, it's been my experience that collective hope promotes a great deal of compassion for others and what they're going through, because you know what you're going through and you know how hard it is to go through something as a human being. So I believe that collective hope does exist. I believe it's a force that can propel humanity forward. I believe that it can help us collectively overcome challenges. I believe that it can create a more just and a more equitable world. And I believe it can build a future when it's done collectively. It can build a future where everyone can thrive.
Wow. Yes. And if you don't mind, I would love to be able to add this to our questions because
Sure.
I would really be interested in how others view collective hope, because this is something that does work in a personal life.
Yes.
You talked earlier about illness and how hope is able to bring people through chronic
Yes.
diseases. And one of the things that I saw that they have really been researching is the person's circle and how that person's circle deals with their illness.
Yes.
And having that collective hope is part of what helps people to get through some of the most difficult chronic illnesses. And they've
Yes.
included things like kidney disease. They've included things like cancer and talked about the power of that collective hope.
Yes.
And so it really works in both dynamics. So I was excited about that question, and you really had me thinking with that.
I thank you for giving me the opportunity to provide it and then answer it in my own way. And I'm sure that you'll find that there'll be others with very special answers to that that can build upon, or even, my answer could build upon theirs, because I believe that's the direction we have to go into. And that's the question we have to ask so that we could build that hope, so that we could actually manifest our world into a better place.
Thank you. Now,
Yes,
this
ma'am.
last question we ask every one of our guests,
Okay.
and it's about your hope because you're working for the benefit of our children and our young people. And so, what is your hope when you get up in the morning, when you've closed out your day, when you're sitting at a Falcons game? What is your hope for our children and our young people for today?
There's so many hopes. I hope that they no longer have to deal with things like cancer. I hope that the sadness in their hearts is minimized by a caring adult who will at least ask the question, what's wrong and how can I help, even if it's not their parent. I hope they inherit a world that's much more friendly than the one that they happen to be in right now, that's much more respectful to differences, that's less egotistic and more altruistic. I hope that it's more peaceful, there's less war, conversations about war. I hope that they have the opportunity to be who they are, without judgment, without disrespect, without violence. And I just, I hope they get the opportunity to be great parents who pass the productivity that we hope for forward, that the world becomes better and better and better, not just more technologically savvy, because in my opinion, as we become technologically savvy, we've also become more primitive. It seems that primitive thoughts like racism and violence and all of those things, we're too technological. We've come too far. We've found our way out of a pandemic in less than a year. We're able to drive around in cars that run on electricity. We're able to learn things in ways that we've never been able to learn things and cure things we've never been able to cure. And we've explored the human mind to great depths. And at the same time, we've become more cognizant of color. We've become more violent, which is probably the least effective and most primitive way to solve issues. We've watered ourselves down to name calling and, things that are just basically beneath even our children's mentality. And I think that we need to rise above that, make sure that we pass on a world that has extinguished those fires. And we're promoting the beauty of life and the expectation that every human being counts, every human being can be who they are, and that along with hope, every individual has someone who will partner with them to help them get through the problem. I hope that our children have all of those things.
I agree with you 100%, because then they can build a better tomorrow for their children.
Good day. That's right. That's right.
And so, wow, this has been an amazing experience. And I
Well,
hope
thank you.
this will not be the last time that you hang out with us on our TJAC Kids podcast. I hope that someone who is listening, who may have had some unusual stress going on prior to turning on this podcast, now feels like I can try to be resilient. I can think things through. I can help my child. I can help someone else's child. Because this world is not just about me and what I'm going through. I'm hoping that they'll remember some of your words and they'll hide them in their heart so that when they go down the tunnel, they'll always see the light. Thank
Yes.
you for joining us. I
It was a
really
great
appreciate
pleasure.
it.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you for having me. And just thank you for your spirit. This has been fun. Now, I hope the same thing, that people will hear the things that we have talked about, and that maybe if it changes a person or two, that's a step closer to changing the entire world.
Yes, sir. Okay.